I have future wager at 50 to 1.
You do.
I got another 25 to win. Woo!
If I don't get the first leg Warren, I just walk home. I'm just straight out the door. I'm gone.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Two Units Podcast. Big edition today, Australia Day long weekend edition with racing at both Caulfield and the Valley. We'll also sneak up to Sydney and take a look at some of the races there in Salt Specs. And we have the supper, Pack Your Nags, the award-winning stewards room. Nick Foot here. Dave, the Sultan Strelaw, joins me.
Footy, great to be here, mate. And a huge weekend of racing. I'll tell you what, hasn't it heated up? It sort of all comes at once. Last week, our show was named Benchmark City. And we didn't care less because we found bets and... And they won.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. We've got some good horses back this week. I'm really intrigued about how the 2 3-year-olds return. I speak of V8, the Australia Stakes, on Saturday at Moonee Valley and fucking Steppers tomorrow at Caulfield on Australia Day as well. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see both of those horses back.
It was there's a bit of divisiveness, I guess, around some of the programming too, seeing those good runners not go up against each other or split and attack different races. And the fields are somewhat a little skinny because of it.
But I guess the three-year-olds need to have an option to race against their own age and they can race against the older horses should they wish as well. So I don't see an issue there. And it has been a good split. I think a couple from the Mar Eustace camp are going to the Manfred. So both fields are sort of evenly spread nicely now.
This fresh, delicious, tasty, meaty, turkey-filled, cold-cut combo. I eat 3 every day to help keep me strong.
Supper time, and it's a special supper because it's a special day, Sultan, and I've been chipping away in the studio and thought, why not put together something for you on your special day?
Happy birthday to Happy birthday,
Mr. Sultan.
Happy birthday to you.
So we got Universal Studios, we've got Sony involved, and we put something together there. And I thought, you're a great friend of mine, so I thought I'd bring you a couple of the greatest chocolates of all time. I think they've just got a bit melted next to my sack. We got the platypus.
Interesting that you've put the furry friends next to your nutsack. Thanks, mate. There we go.
We got the platypus, who's a streamlined operator like yourself.
He loves rivers, good unit.
And also the Tasmanian devil from the Tasmanian
that
devil
himself.
That is
actually genuinely melted.
Yeah, it is.
That is one warm ball sack you got.
It's been there for 2 minutes. Nice. Still, I'm running hot. But happy birthday, mate.
Thanks, bro.
25,
and I believe I'll be 25 for the next few years as well. Now I know my old lady used to say every birthday she was 29, and I'd think, all right, mum, the joke's over. You've been saying it 15 years, but I'm going to knock 4 off that because I'm pretty flat in my mid-30s. I've never cared about birthdays. I turned 35 and I've thought, oh, that doesn't sound that flashy. I'm going to do something with my life.
But I reckon mid-30s is sweet. I'm going to sort of start having some real what have I done with my life late 30s.
It's funny. Even if you do something with your life, you still think, what have I done with my life?
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, well, spot on. Look at us. Yeah. Absolute rock stars.
An absolute meat axe. <Cool. laughs> Mate, but that was nice of you to get Marilyn to sing. And it gave me... I had some movement down there. It's like George Costanza eating some mango.
Maryland foot row.
No, but appreciate that, mate. And it's a nice supper here to share with you and my furry friends. Are we into the supper now?
Yeah, we're
into the supper.
Yeah, and, go for it.
And is that the song?
That was the song.
Yeah, that's the song. I like it. I like it. Well, I'm bringing Tommy Doyle to the supper. The stuff at the Miners Rest Cup, if you haven't seen it, you're obviously not following horse racing or at least the .com socials. But I think it's fantastic. Looks great fun. I'm keen to,
we're getting there.
Yeah, me and you are going to be there.
We're going to run some content on King Island.
I'm pretty keen for it. Yep. I'm pretty keen for it. But we bring Tommy Doyle to the stumper because he did a shoey
It was a booty.
Yeah, a booty.
It was
an
absolute booty.
But rumor has it he's turning a new leaf. He's zen. He's zen and he's feeling the vibe. He actually had kombucha in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that right?
So he's done a kombucha shoey because he got on a plane and rode at Mount Gambier the next day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So a little bit of fermented tea in the boot.
Just
on
a
King
bit of
Island.
A pump me up, yeah.
I didn't mind that. That's good for him. Hey, I had some good gear around the photo of that King Island and of the Miners Rest Cup, sort of in our two-unit service Telegram group.
Yeah.
I thought I was pretty happy with my gear. I sort of said, oh, geez, they've had to send the photo down to the King Island news agency or to get the negatives, to get it developed, to get that photo, because it took a while because there was a photo between the McAvoy runner and the Henry Dwyer runner, and I was like, they've had to send it down. 10 minutes later on racing.com, you word for word, you rolled out my exact gag and followed it up with cheers for that. Just used it on TV in the group chat. I don't know about that.
I actually used it again today on Get On Extra.
Ghostwriting.
Yeah, ghost but writing. I've been ghostwriting for you for years, mate. It's about time I got one back on you.
Jesus Christ.
Mate. Speaking of great cooks, you've got a great cook that you want to bring to the supper.
Yeah, the Mug Punter. He's been one of mine for a long time. Matty Rose, I believe his name is. He's
at Mug Punter 1991 on Twitter.
He's human starch, this bloke. He just cooks up some real dicey sort of
he's
stuff.
He's a human cattle prod.
He is. But yeah, he put together, he was actually one of the punters of the week. So for those that, I don't know if you even have to subscribe. I think this was a free article on punters. It's free, yeah. He's limited. Thanks for coming. He put together one of the most entertaining punters of the week. It was riveting I've ever read. So got to know the Mug Punter. But also just on, did you manage to catch his golf swing the other night up in Sydney?
I did actually. Second time lucky. The first one was about a foot short of the ball, but still better than Beery.
Yeah. I reckon his swing is better than Beery. Tell you what's been flooding my feed today. If you've got a Twitter account, you would have seen it. Is David Taggart's prowess on the golf course as well, with the SEN day. Jesus.
How many takes do you reckon?
Oh, that 6 foot putt, I reckon that was take about 80. He's good for racing that bloke. Yeah, he's funny as.
That goal regulation size of one!
Oh, you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
I see no finger paintings you bring home and they suck.
I'm calm.
Pack your nags, cucumber and sushi rolls.
I strongly disagree, but mount your case.
What? It's avocado is the only green vegetable that should be in a sushi roll.
Well, it's about texture.
Well, are you tuna cucumber or tuna avocado? What would you buy?
I'd probably buy a tuna avocado, but I like
chicken cucumber, chicken avocado. What would you buy?
I like when the cucumber's in salmon because the salmon's quite soft and textury, and it can be a bit squishy if it's also salmon avocado. So I like cucumber in that.
Cooked salmon, raw salmon?
Raw.
Okay, I'm not a raw salmon guy. Yeah, I like a cooked salmon, teriyaki salmon.
You're a baby, but no, that's fair enough. Well, you know. Taste incline. Maybe we get that up in our poll.
They're passing off. Yeah, we'll put that in the poll in Spotify. Scroll down right now. Cucumber in sushi rolls, yes or no? That's the poll there today. But underlying this argument as well is they're trying to pass off cucumber at the avocado prices. So you'll get like, say it's $4.50 or whatever for the sushi roll.
I'll pay that.
Like a Lebanese cucumber versus a Haas avocado. Well,
yeah. If you want to get some part. Lebanese between your knees, it should be a bit cheaper.
Hey, I recently bought a new mattress.
It's very exciting buying a new mattress. The first sit is just highly anticipated.
It is. And I went around one of those homemaker centers and tried them all out. And it is, this is the best way I can put it. It's like buying a new car now. You go around a center. It's like used car. It's like a car lot. You move around and they're obviously on commission, these workers. And the whole process, they're just trying to constantly upsell you, take you to their brand or take you to something else. Okay. And they're working on commission. And it's actually a
dog. Sucks.
It's a dog shit process to go through. And even at the end, it's like, oh, I've bought my mattress. They've got it in stock. We'll deliver it. They take you up to a table and you sit behind a table and they're behind a computer. And it's like, do I need registration? What are you putting into your computer? Like,
what's
why
going
do you?
On there?
I know. So
it's an extra stuff.
The mattress, the process of a mattress salad tucked out for an hour.
It took
about 4 hours. I got a sleep maker actually from 40 Winks. I called the bloke out because I was like, "Hey, mate." He goes, "It's a sale." And I was like, "Mate, you've been having a 40-hour sale since I was 7.
40 Winks, 40-hour
yeah,
sale.
Since I was 7. And he goes, no. He goes, because I was like, "I'm going to call the ACCC because you're not allowed to have this many sales. You only have 4 sales a year, and one of them's like three black sales. Yeah, it's like 3 black sales.
What's EB
like
Games doing then?
Yeah, so I had this great conversation with this guy, and then he ended up talking about this store in Adelaide, which was called 24-hour sale, and it got through the ACCC because they actually named their store 24-hour sale.
Oh.
So they advertise the sale every day. But, yeah, horrible process, packing ags, buying a mattress from a homemaker center.
All right, fair dart. You would have seen on social media there's a bit of a trend with people setting up cameras in gyms and, like, doing workouts and then blowing up when people behind them interrupt the camera, or it all just looks set up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically just setting anything set up packing because I'm sick of it. There's a trend of it. It's happening a lot in gyms. I don't know what's real and what's fake anymore.
Mm.
I don't know if the girl is actually cracking it because the guy just walked behind her shot, even though it's a public gym, or it's set up for likes, and I don't like it and I want to send it packing.
Yeah, the world's all about analytics now, and we're just living in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about clicks.
Lucky we got Footalytics.
It's all about clicks. What can get me a click? Cafe trend. I've been on a cafe trend the last few weeks on the show, and I've got another one here. So little cafe at RSN just that overlooks the studio, and there's a guy makes great coffee, Maddie.
Okay.
And chat to him, obviously, in there regularly. So he somehow, since he's come back from his break, now thinks my name is Jimmy. And what's occurred here is I heard it the first time, caught me off guard. I was like, is that me? Didn't correct it.
You do look like a Jimmy.
Yeah. And then the second time I was sitting in the cafe with several people and he yelled out at the top of his voice where my coffee was already, Jimmy! And everyone's sort of looking around and I'm like, fuck, that's me. I got to go get this. So like everyone was looking. So I went up and I was like, cheers, mate. And then today again, it happened.
Did anyone say anything?
It happened in front of a couple of people I was sitting with. They went, Jimmy. And I went, that's me. And then I got back
and they were
losing it. And they're like, why are they calling you? Why is he calling you Jimmy? I was like, I don't know, but we're in too deep now. I can't correct him anymore.
You're Jimmy now.
So I've either got to resign from the station or I'm Jimmy. And I'm just Jimmy.
Shows he must be listening because he thinks Jimmy comes on every day.
Exactly right. He's like, what's this guy doing? He's punching data in the back.
English literature, U.S. presidents, my wife, the tramp, burning dog poo and the human response, reflections of society and literature.
Reflections of society and literature.
Unbelievable. The steward's room. Questions from the units to us.
Just a few questions this week from Tim Widowson, 11. This is to me. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized Nick Foots or one Nick Foot-sized duck? I'll smash them all, but I'll go the one Nick Foot-sized duck.
it's not a bad question. We're scraping the barrel this week.
But 100 can get together as a team. You don't want to mess with 100 of anything.
Yeah, that's true. Imagine 100 of me coming at you. You'd still win.
You'd take me down.
I've never been in a fight in my life. I wouldn't want to start as a duck.
I can fight myself out of a bloody paper bag.
Yeah. Especially now. You do a hammy or something.
Yeah. No, at your age. To be fair, I'm a weapon.
This is the 35-year-old edition of the show because we're both 35 but at this very moment in time. How's that feel?
It's pathetic. You can play vets now.
Yeah, yeah, you could. Master rules. I don't know if you get much of it, mate. Question here from NZ Polpol. it's the sound of New Zealand, please. What are your greatest punting sins, i.e. what do you know you shouldn't do but keep doing it?
Not much these days. I ironed out a few kinks. I used to back way too many back markers.
Mm.
I used to not look at the tempo of the race. I'd see a horse run a big closing fraction and then not pay enough attention to the tempo of the next race it's in. So flashing light runners.
Yeah. Mine is similar theme, but chasing same runners.
Yeah, see, this is where... It's
a good run early in the prep. Or even, to be honest, something I've noticed looking through my sheet, my data lately, is I've actually chased... I've gone one too early on a few. So, like...
Whether
you like their work...
Actually.
Or you like their first up run, and then you go, I want it. It's a reasonable price. You get sucked in. So, not a huge outlay. And then the next run...
That's a good... That is something I could probably do. Is that, in fact, the other one is just not sack them too early. If I've liked them or whatever, they might have put in a bad one or they sort of had their chance, maybe second up, and I've thought, oh, it's had its chance last start, and sort of not factored in the improvement again, perhaps. Because what you said about following horses too much, I actually think it would be a sin to not keep following a horse. Like I know it was off the cuff, and when you said about Jungle Jim, like how many times can you go to the well or something if a horse had kept losing? Let's say you backed the horse three times
in
a row.
It is horses for courses, yeah, though.
Let's say you backed the horse three times in a row and it lost, but you think at its fourth up run that it's found the right race. Well, you shouldn't not back it just because you've lost on it three times. It's the same as someone saying, oh, I'm going to back this next start. It owes me nothing because it won at $10 last start.
Yeah.
That's not the case. If it's not in the right race and it's not a bet, you don't back it. It didn't give you the money. Your punting strategy gave you the money. Just follow the strategy.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. You're removing the actual... It's more of a... Is that more of like a data look than an actual horse itself look, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you're removing the emotive part of it a little bit as well.
You're removing sort of any objectivity.
Yeah, but then I think it has a place as well because... And I've joked about it the last few weeks... calling Kin a late EM. And like I know you said last week, oh, she does come through some high rating races.
You used to love Kin and follow it all the time.
Yeah, though. And then I got burnt. So
yeah,
then
now you're talking like you've never backed it.
No. This falls in perfectly to the question.
Yep.
This actually answers NZ Polpol's question.
All right.
And also shows a learning. What we call in our old pedagogical days, this is learning intention success criteria.
Mm.
Absolutely summed up, Saltzman.
Lovely. Sharipa is no chance in the Oakley Pate from Tom Duggan on Insta. No chance is wrong. The horse is going to be nicely weighted. And let's say the horse is $6 or $5 just to make the math easier. It's a 20% chance. So that means it's an 80% chance of losing. Doesn't mean it's no chance. It's a chance, disagree, whether he wins or not. But no, I think no chance is a bit too absolute for my liking.
Yeah, and if you look at the futures markets currently, you've got Skirrippers at your $6.50 favourite.
Yeah.
And look, at this time, when's the Oakley Plate? Like a month away? End of February,
yep.
I think? Yeah. So when you're looking at that, there's probably only a handful that we know are definitely going there at the point as well. So at the moment... Oh, you got to agree with the market because everything that Skirrip has done since the Christmas Stakes, since that last win at Flemington where we just said, hey, see you later, the whole preparation's pointing towards the Oakley Plate. So, yep, Tommy Duggan. Sorry, that's from Jimmy.
Jimmy Duggan.
Jimmy Duggan. hey, I liked New Zealand Polpol's question. New Zealand Polpol, the greatest punting sins.
Nice.
We'll get in touch.
Yeah, beautiful.
Polpol, and we'll get you some merch. Brilliant stuff.
When they're galloping to the gates, there's only one place to bet. Top Sport, the home of horse racing. Whether you're a sprinter or a stayer or just a fashion-conscious player, go the distance with bigger bet limits and top odds on every race, every time. Download the app for a faster, easier betting experience. Top Sport. Feel the excitement. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Salt Specs time. Salt Specs. What you gonna do
when they come for you? All right, racing at Caulfield.
Yeah, we are.
Tomorrow, just to backtrack here, I'm going to say something, then keep talking. I've only backed Kin once. It was at Caulfield and she won. Rail True at Caulfield, good four. Moderate southwesterly winds. more west southwesterly now. Some advantage to be off the fence circle races. I reckon one out, one back outside the lead. Sprint trips, probably the place to be. If that wind is west southwesterly, as stiff as it is predicted.
Okay. Let's go to race number two, Salts. And you've got a runner here for Andrew Noblet, who goes around, brings some pretty good form. A couple back through running by as well.
And yeah.
That's Frenchman's Bay.
Yeah, Frenchman's Bay. The one for Mick Kent, come up favourite. Good run first up behind Varvia at Geelong.
Eternal Flame.
Yeah, nice horse and suited to 1,400 metres. But I did think that Frenchman's Bay was over the odds based on the last couple of runs. And she had some excuses last start at Geelong. Muddling tempo. Jockey went very early. Stewards report said Jock went too early. Jockey admitted in the Stewards report. Horse wanted to lay in badly under pressure. Gap third. Winner had a soft run yellow, Sam. I thought the run prior was very good behind running by. And the run prior to that had Ray Shape against its Sandown and rounded them up from the rear. So Celine Gaudrey goes on, a new apprentice, and she's obviously absolutely flying at the moment. And I think that she's over the odds at around, I think you can get around $4.40 for her in the first.
The market's starting to correct itself a bit. Okay. So Eternal Flame opened 2.15 out to about 2.40. Frenchman's Bay is 4.40 into 3.90.
All right, lovely. Yeah, that was my rate.
It's tightening.
$3.80 was the price I had rated her, so I'd still be happy to back that $3.90. I think she's a nice bet in the second event there at Caulfield.
Race number six. It's a real head-to-head sort of operation here. It's the Manfred Stakes. Previous winners of the race include Jackano Generation and Portland Sky. It's for the three-year-olds over 1,200.
Stepardi is the rightful favourite, and I feel like unless another horse goes to a new level, if he holds what he's done in his career to date, he'll win. If he improves, he'll win. Let's face it, this guy's a winner. He's had six starts. He's won five of them. The only miss was Caulfield Guineas, which was a weird-ass race. Weird-ass race. Nothing made ground. He was on speed, but he was 1-1. It was just a weird race.
Mm-hmm.
Pen that. Two from two first up. He sprints well. His jump out was an absolute corker. The vision of him working at home, he looks like he was already a big, strong boy, but he looks like a man now. I think he's going to have a magnificent preparation. It's going to kick off in the Manfred.
Stepardi, $2.70 at the moment. I am siding with Carbonados in this
Footy
race.
Carbonados.
yeah, wear something nice. Unbeaten in two. The Oz debut at Geelong, that was on the coast day down there, I thought was a ripper. So slowly run race, 1,100, got home 6.1 lengths inside benchmark for the last 600. We'll come on plenty from that up to 1,200. No knock on Stepardi, the other runners. I just love the one run under the belt, being a speed influence, having that slight race day fitness edge. And I think this horse has got some ability as well.
I
think
two from two.
I think he might be pretty good.
Yeah, I think they're both probably on an Australian Guineas path.
Yep, no doubt, no doubt. Still like a Tago for that at the moment. Oh, that's the runner I'm with for the Oz Guineas early doors.
I've just refreshed Racing Victoria Stewards on Twitter. I've seen a late gear change. Carbonados, green RMs on first time.
Yeah. Gets out of the gates early too to go secure members' tables.
Yeah, it's got an explosive early split.
green form factor. Yeah,
doesn't go to the vets.
Good early speed.
Without raising funds. Hey, race seven is the listed John Dillon Stakes over 1,400 metres. I've done my research here, mate. Previous winners include my boy, Gentleman Roy, absolute weapon. Loved that guy. Open-minded. And Blaze Jowski, he was a grey operator, wasn't he?
Secrecy old Blazer.
Fantastic research. You like one hard in the market that's an absolute Caulfield specialist.
I don't think you get too many more Caulfield 1,400 metre specialists than the likes of Ayrton. But what I will say is he's up against the likes of Buffalo River, who genuinely runs in any 1400 meter race ever. If it was a girls' race, he'd somehow get in. They'd go, no, we'll let Buffalo River in. It's a mayor's race, but we'll let him in.
Get a can of spam and try and get past the stewards.
He actually does set up some good speed in this race, which I think will suit the likes of Ayrton, though. And look, he may never... Saltz is loving his own gear here, by the way. Yeah. He may never be what we thought he was going to be, Ayrton. But his last prep... Like, he had some excuses in some big races. Yeah. And then, like, he won first up in that weekend hustler, which was this track trip. He was entitled to finish much closer in the Rupert Clark. He was blocked for runs, then crammed for room late. So he wasn't going to win the race, but would have certainly finished much closer to... Is it Magic Time that won that race?
Yep.
Will carry residual fitness from that Perth campaign, running that Gold Rush, the Ollie race, and was wide throughout. So I think coming here on the fresher side he just looks a bet for me. Ayrton, $4.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop.
Oh, here he is. I didn't even know you were having a bet in this race. You snuck that down the page.
I think Ayrton is the best horse in the race, but I do think if Buffalo River will ever beat him, it's this Friday, and I want to back Buffalo River the two. He goes very well for Celine Gaudrey. He also loves the Caulfield 1400 metres. His overall record isn't as strong in terms of winning strike rate as Ayrton, but he goes bloody good there.
He's had 14 starts for 4 wins and 3 minor placings track distance.
Yeah.
It's a big go.
He likes it.
Yeah.
For me, though, what really piqued my interest with him is a couple of things. Firstly, he's the sole leader. He doesn't have to work to lead up the hill into the wind. So he just gets there by default. And also his leading trial at Werribee over 1,100 metres, he's a noted poor trialer. Even when he was flying and he was sort of being touted as a Group 1 horse and he was coming through the grades and he had the big boom on him, he used to jump out terribly.
Mm.
And then he'd come to race day and he'd thrive on race day. Well, he goes to the front 1,100 metres at Werribee, runs fast time in first gear. I reckon it's the best jump bet he's had in his whole career. So he's going to be good to go on Friday. Mm. And if the best horse wins, Ayrton will win. But if a horse that just can be a little bit cheeky from the front and hold off the best horse, it's going to be Buffalo River. And I do like his setup. And I thought when they went up around that 550, he was well worth a bet.
As the great man David Gately once said, you know, always back the best horse in the race. And that's why he's on me at $1.80 over the 20.40 in the Valley. Hey, I just want to ask you quickly about another runner in that race, Yonce, first up was at Caulfield over the 1,100. That was through that Christmas Stakes that Skirripa won. Big layoff. Can she get back to somewhere near her best?
She did enough first up. 1,100 metres short of her best. But if you want to sort of draw a direct comparison with Ayrton and how she's going to go, well, they jumped out together in fast time at Cranbourne, and she's jumped out between runs. And Ayrton plain and simply just outworked her.
Yep.
So off that jump out, given she's second up off a long spell, I can't see her beating Ayrton. And I can't see her beating Buffalo River, but she is a bloody good horse, but maybe next start.
Yeah, she's the one that go back to the stewards.
She finds a decent race as well.
Yeah, she's won over 2,000 at Flemington before, so she'll get better, no doubt, as she gets out over further. But I just think she's one of the more interesting runners on the card, Sultan. Got something for us at Warwick Farm.
Yep. Just won at Warwick Farm, race 4 on Friday, the 3, Franz Joseph. Set outside of fast tempo on debut. Went very early. Knocked up a bit late, but entitled to. Spank third. The runner-up, Pure Alpha, has won since. He ran 5 lengths inside the class average, winning there. Nice space between runs. Lovely soft trial between runs. Goes forward. Very hard to beat. TC in the saddle.
Yeah. $2.50 at the moment for Franz Joseph.
Fair price. Fair and reasonable.
It's a good price. Mm. So it's, hey, Valley, this is a sweet weekend having the Oz Day on the Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Get to shop around a bit.
Yeah.
It's a bit more, I found it a bit more entertaining doing form, flicking through a few different tracks. Yeah. And even Morphettville's got the Durbridge Stakes as well.
Yep.
We'll go to the Valley first, the rails in the true position. How do you expect it to race?
I think it'd be a fair track. And also light winds as well. So, yeah, you know, naturally you don't want to be getting back there. But if tempo's on, I reckon you could win from anywhere.
Race one, benchmark 70 for the three-year-olds. I think great way to start the day here. Acid Wash for Clinton McDonald. $2.15, $2.20. Spoke to Clinton the other day on RSN. Opted to bring Acid Wash to this race, $150,000 race, over a $40,000 class one at Pakenham
where
tonight.
He looked like he was going to be very hard to beat as well.
Interestingly enough, I thought the same, and Clinton had a different view. He thought, given the setup of this race at Moonee Valley on Saturday, was an easier race for Acid Wash, which I found interesting, even though drawn out a little bit. I'm not sure where Acid Wash is going to get to in the run. Has had that tendency to step a bit slow.
Yeah, he's half slow, and then Jamie sort of sent him.
Yeah, that might be the case again, because that last start win at Pakenham was a thing of beauty, really. Was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it was visually very pleasing. Yeah. And as opposed to when Jamie won on that debutante jambalaya for Moonee Valley, there was also merit on the clock for Acid Wash. Mm. So soft win, but he did look like he had more to give.
Yeah. I thought it rated well given how soft it was. Mm. And that's why I'm like, if you're showing much more improvement off that, you put away this three-year-old benchmark 70 field. So good way to start the day, Acid Wash for me. Big grey jet. Race seven, Salts, benchmark 70, 20-40. Like one here for Price Kent Jr.
Yeah, seven, number seven, Fredda. She looks a quality mare. She's only at start number four. But, geez, she was very good first up at Bendigo. Off a year off the scene, straight to 1,600 metres, put an absolute hole in third, ran good time, nice closing fractions, only rose 100 metres in trip second up at Geelong. And I still do feel the way I've assessed that coast meeting at Geelong was early on, there was an advantage to be on the fence. The track even right out, and as a whole picture of the day, you say the track race fairly, because over the course of the day, horses won from anywhere. But early on, you did want to be out there. She was one out, one back, had her chance, but the way that she closed off, she was a bit one pace. She was already looking for 2,000 metres. She gets on the weekend. She has a magnificent stride on her. So she'll be chewing up this Cox Plate distance and be very hard to beat in the seventh.
Yeah, good support today. I got to speak to Mick Kent Jr. today. He was in New Zealand. He also gives that substance, saying that Fredda is his stable's best runner across the next 3 days anywhere. And
I think that's nice. They've
got like a $1.40.
What's 40. The support you got? You're rolling. What's she been backed into?
She's at $2.50, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, okay, nice.
No, $2.70, mate. So $2.70 still. So pretty good push considering the stable's got a $1.45 shot in the first at pack tonight. So happy days. Randwick, rails out.
Yeah, rails out 9 metres, but historically that actually plays okay. But it will be a fast track more likely.
Mm-hmm. Race six is benchmark 88 over 1,800 metres, and this horse is not named after me.
Man behind the money, the three. Hard to beat. Goes straight to the front. I tell you, there's not much speed in this race. Did enough second up under 60 and a half kegs in 78 grade at Eagle Farm, but just wasn't quite ready. And I like they identified that. They sent him back to the trials after bringing him down to Sydney, and he trialed over 1,200 metres at Warwick Farm. What I loved about the trial was some intent, because they rode him out the barriers to lead. They went forward. They run good time for the morning for the couple of 1,200 metre heats they had, and he moved very nicely. He'll go forward here. Louisville, I thought, had favours last start. The horse Floating should have beaten it. Floating gets back. Louisville will be closer to Man Behind the Money than Floating, but the last time he won Man Behind the Money was 2,000 metres Randwick. I reckon he's ready to rumble. Best of the day in Sydney.
Not a bad race. Got some pretty fair benchmark runners in there as well. So Man Behind the Money, number three, $3.90 backed in already, Salts. So a bit of support for the three there. Hey, race nine, it's a benchmark 78, 1,400 metres. And there's one right down here in the weights, Infinitive.
Yeah, she's also accepted Warwick Farm Friday, James McDonald booked. But I like this race for her, to be honest. Two very quiet trials. The last time we saw this mare was as a filly in the Group 1 Vinery Stud Stakes. Prowess won that race. Mm-hmm. She was three wide, no cover. Big peak, good run, big price, no market expectation, but she ran a scorcher, and her two jump outs or trials up there, the recent trial for a Waller horse, very nice trial. Mm-hmm. You can spec her at a decent price, the 14 in the ninth event.
Yeah, $11 if you don't mind. Dylan Gibbons getting in there for 54 on the minimum. Morphettville. Durbridge Stakes Day over there, rails in the true. We're on the course proper, and you got something for us in race one to start off real nice and early. A runner that I was pretty keen on at Geelong and found each way at a really nice price in Christmas.
Yeah, nice, mate. And he put the writing on the wall first up. He was good from too far back at Moonee Valley, and the run was full of merit at Geelong as well. He should have finished closer. He was actually held up top of the lane, got out. And
telling me.
Yeah, and this is the Adelaide Cup winner. This guy will probably win the Adelaide Cup. If it rains on Adelaide Cup day, well, someone give me a price.
Yeah, he definitely the Spruik, and I think what was it factored in the price at Geelong.
Is he the Spruik?
No, I was saying what was said about him at Geelong was, and the knock on him was probably around the fact that it was dry ground, but he got over.
Oh, yeah.
He got on top of the ground fine, but the Spruik is on him around wet ground. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's all because it being one of these imported runners and most of that form being on some, being able to get the toe in, it seems to be the word, but he ran pretty bloody good on top of the ground.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a good point that you make, because if it was wet on the weekend, it'd be $1.50, but he handled the good. He's good enough to win on a good track. And we saw he's run well in two good track runs today, and he meets a field here that I just think he's better than.
Yeah, Christmas, 280.
Race 9 is the feature on the program. It's the listed Durbridge Stakes over 1,100 metres. Geez, you go through the honour roll here and there's some serious salty and footy horses. Shimino, he was one of mine.
Well,
I loved
him. You backed him in this race last year at, I think, $11.
Yeah, I think it was a few years ago. Yeah. Shimino. Kemmel, if he won it last year, I didn't back him. But anyway, I backed him. I used to back him heaps. Kemmel Passer, well, we love him. He's one of our first favourite horses together.
$21 down the guts. Yeah. Derby day.
Free money. Behemoth, he was more so one of yours than mine, but he was a good horse, won plenty of group ones.
Yeah.
And it's, if any of those were here, it'd be see you later boys on the weekend, but you're shopping for a bit of value.
Yeah, I am. And there is probably some high quality H2O in the race who's the one to beat and is the race favourite. But I reckon Grinzinger Prince represents some pretty good value at $11 and been going pretty well since switching to that Cody Reardon yard from Danny O'Brien. Has won 3 races in SA. He performs best on top of the ground, that's for sure. So, and he'll get that here on Saturday. His win last start, Salts, which was in 76 grade, was slowly run race, was excellent. Got home 13.4 lengths faster than the all benchmark over the last 600. So has a really good turn of foot, and he settled last in that race. There's a touch more speed here, as you'd expect when you got the likes of Sava 2XL engaged in a race like this. But I think he'll be flashing late, and $11, he's a 1x3 special in Adelaide, and it feels good to be back in the city of Churches, I'm not going to lie. Unit. It is unit of the week time. And hey, if you want to get involved, mate, because Golden Paddy's dynasty's come to an end, you can email Nick at twounits.com.au. You can DM us on at @2unitspodcast, anything. We got a couple in the queue at the moment, but please do get involved. Salt and I are actually heading to Racing Hearts on Monday to present them with some of the winnings, real sort of novelty size check area salts for what we've done here, the unit's top sport over the last couple of seasons. So excited for that. Our unit this week, he's back on deck. It's the Canberra Raiders ground announcer himself in Matty.
Yeah, morning boys. It's Matt from Canberra and I'm back. I've got the big call up early in season 7. I'm looking to contribute some more funds to Racing Hearts, thanks to the great team at Top Sport. Boys, it's a privilege to be involved as a unit of the week. This is my 3rd straight season, looking for a winner, so I'm going to keep it bloody simple, boys. I'm going off early this weekend. I am personally coming in hot, heading trackside to Caulfield on Friday, and I'm there for the Stapardi party. That's right, Caulfield Race 6, number 2, Stapardi. It's paying around $3 right now on Top Sport. It's 5 from 6 lifetime, 2 from 2 first up. It's got great track and distance stats. Johnny Allen reuniting with Stapardi in the saddle. And listening to the trainer this week, he's chosen this easier option over the Australia Stakes at the Valley on Saturday for that easier kill, with bigger fish to fry later in the campaign. I reckon it's immoral, but time will tell. Let's go to party, and thanks for the opportunity.
He's moral, Jeff.
I don't mind it.
Yeah. Speaking of the stigma, turning it sideways, that's taken off too. But you're you don't mind the moral calls then. You're not buying
Terry,
into that.
Terry and I both had the same best bet at Sunday. Genricchio at Mornington, in his preview, he called it an absolute stinking flame and moral, and it won. So I'm all about it.
Yeah, I backed that.
I'll never say it myself, but yeah.
2 units time, best bets from wherever we want. My best bet this week, I found it hard to find a best bet. I'll stake this the same as I will, as I'll stake Acid Wash as well and Ayrton. So they're probably three that I'll stake similar, but extra two I've landed on, just given the shorter price to Ayrton. That's how I've landed on it. So it's, she's in race five. It's a fillies and mares benchmark 70 at the Valley on Saturday. And she looks to rate a streak clear of these if she brings anything close to her previous fresh runs. Last prep, she kicked off with a six-length maiden win, then went on to win again. Was later disqualified, though, due to the old pin gate. That was an absolute kerfuffle. But jumped out at Hamilton in preparation for this. Was given a solid hit out. Wasn't the greatest piece of work, but I did go back through her recent jump outs in terms of when she's been first up, and she looks like she benefits a lot from jumping out. She doesn't look like she's a great trialer by any stretch. So I'll take it on trust with the stable. She's in Mar and Eustace hands, and it'll be the last weekend in Eustace hands, which is we should also make note of here on the potty. Look, Tatum Bull goes on 3 kilo claim, just gets in well at the weights after that, and she's been riding well of late. So I think if she can find some cover off the speed, be savaging the line late, extra two, best bet.
Yeah, my best is also at the Valley on Saturday, race 8, the 7 flying on a limb, and I'm pretty content she's the best horse in the race. She's got the best exposed ratings at these weights, and she bumps in a philosopher who's flying but meets him nicely at the weights. And her first three runs last preparation, she strung together 3 wins, and the first two of those, she ran the fastest closing splits of the day. So don't worry about her performing fresh. And the thing I loved about her is sort of a similar approach to what you had with Extra Two. So she jumped out really quietly, not poorly. She jumped out well, but very quietly this preparation. So I went and had a look back through before last preparation to see how they jumped her out. And she was beaten like 14 lengths in a jump out, leading into winning first up 4 wide, no cover in fast time. So clearly she doesn't need to be forward in her jump outs or being asked the question in her jump outs to perform first up. And her jump outs this time in were streets ahead of the ones last prep. So I think she's going to be nice and fresh on the weekend, and she can perform accordingly flying on a limb. I think she should be favourite. Mornington Glory, whether it backs up, is under the odds, and Philosopher is flying, but I think flying on a limb is a better horse.
Yeah, good call. Good price as well, flying around on the $4. $4. Yeah. It's a good point around profiling jump outs, Salts. Something you make sure you do a lot of. I know it's something I started adding in now. Like, and I probably wouldn't have found Extra Two if I hadn't have gone back and sussed previous preparation.
Well, that will be if I'm looking at a race and I like a horse and I'm looking at the ratings and stuff and I want to look into the horse and I look at its jump out and I see it hasn't jumped out well. I will want to go back and look at its past preps to see how it has jumped out. Often off the top of your head if it's a Victorian horse and you've done enough of the form. But if you haven't, you go back, you have a look, and if you see if it's jumped out in a similar way, well, you can then back it with a bit of confidence and say, well, it's just not a jump out horse.
I like that. It is your birthday. What's the plans?
I'm a low-key operator, mate. I'll go have dinner with my family and all catch up tonight, and that's really my favourite thing in the world to do is hang out with the fam. So I'll do that on my birthday and it'll be great fun.
Pretty sure I saw you on a birthday once try and tear a TV screen off a wall when Stella Season lost.
Yep. that is true. That was Australia Day races at Caulfield. Jay Ford.
The Falcon.
Not sure why you'd take a sit on that horse. Still not over it. That was the day Tom Melbourne won.
It was. Yeah. That was good. That was a good day. Absolute limbs. We were flying on a limbs in the air.
I used to go
Caulfield
hard.
Members.
Now I'm middle aged.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I've been sort of hanging out, thinking I reckon we'll end up doing something Australia Day. We might go to the races, or just no invite came. But I'm glad to hear you're doing nothing, because that means that I didn't not get an invite.
Yeah, no, you're
so
right. Mate.
Good on you. Right. Hey mate, have a terrific birthday. I thought I'd put on some DMAs. I'm going to see the DMAs on Saturday at Melbourne Park. It's the only time you'll see me at the tennis is when there's some music.
Lovely.
This is step up the morphine, or because I'm punting at Derby in the Derby Stakes, it's step up the Morfettville. So we'll go out to some DMAs. Have a good weekend, everyone. I should be loving, I couldn't find you, and I shouldn't care. You were the silence in my brain, unsettled by the weather. We built a kingdom in the rain. I think we're getting better. Sometimes I wonder why we bother at all. So